Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in John chapter 6. You've been with us the past few days. You know that this has been a very challenging section because what it's doing is challenging our motivations for why we follow Jesus Christ. And in this particular section, we've got a bunch of floaters. We've got a bunch of drifters. And these people are thousands have been filled. Thousands have been filled with physical bread that Jesus gave. But yet they have not come to him that they may have life. And the tragedy of this is that they are floating. They are following him at a distance. They are following insofar as they don't have to make the commitment to come to him for life. I've been applying that this week on Abounding Grace, challenging us, because one of the sad realities in the church today, and that's been the point here, is that these are not looking at pagans in the world. We're looking at followers of Jesus. Quote, followers who say they're Christians. And here we see they are unwilling to make the commitment. I have seen this as a pastor over and over. So many in and out, in and out, in and out. Love what they hear, love what they're hearing. Unwilling to make the commitment, unwilling to lead in their families, unwilling to follow Jesus Christ. And ironically, they're always on the sidelines. They're never involved. They never serve. Everything's about them, their questions. They can't get their eyes off themselves. And it's a tragedy. It's a tragedy because they won't come. They've seen him, and yet they do not believe. That's what Jesus is dealing with in John 6. And Jesus here in verse 35, this is where we left off yesterday. Verse 35, he gives one of the most powerful, life-transforming statements in all of Scripture. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the one who has come down from heaven to give life to the world, he says. Whosoever comes will be filled. Whosoever believes shall never thirst. Coming to Christ equates with being filled. Believing equates with being satisfied. That, dear friend, is true faith. You're never going to thirst. You're never going to hunger. You're going to be filled. I'm going to be water in your life, constantly bursting out of your hearts that's satisfying. I'm going to be like bread to a weary, starving man when he eats and is instantly nourished. That's what I'm going to be like. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, this coming, this desire of Christ is equated with real joy. I said yesterday, the unfilled life is not joyful. It's not satisfied. What characterizes the unfilled life is bitterness and complaining, a life of irritation, never really thankful. You know, we just celebrated Thanksgiving not too long ago, and I say over and over, you cannot be thankful. I know how many news articles I read calling Americans to be thankful. You know what? You cannot really be thankful if you're not filled with Jesus Christ, because without his joy, it is completely impossible. The root of dissatisfaction is what is characteristic of the unregenerate life. It's lacking in the fundamental thing, assurance of faith, that trusting in Christ brings joy inexpressible and fullness of joy. Now, are you starting to see the problem here? There's nothing about Jesus that is beautiful to the natural man. There's nothing that really makes us desire Jesus Christ and long for him. And here's the thing. Jesus is saying in this text, John 6:35, I am the bread. I satisfy. Whoever comes to me will be filled. You may not know it, You may not realize it, but I'm the only one who can truly satisfy you. I'm the only one who can really fill you and give what your restless lives are always searching for. Because I know you're living for the moment. I know you're living to find satisfaction in other things, missing the one who can indeed make water abound and spring out of your hearts to everlasting life. So, dear listener, are you seeing what belief is? These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing that you may have life in his name. Life. Deep, satisfying rest in Jesus Christ. Deep satisfaction that so sees him that you're filled with him. That he is beautiful to you beyond anything our natural cravings push upon us. I've tasted him. I've eaten him. I've digested in my soul the most blessed and filling bread offered under the sun to man. Heavenly bread. So filling. He is like water to satisfy the thirst of my soul. He's like bread to fill my inner life with satisfaction. You know, if you don't know what this is, the Gospels are showing us this over and over and over of what it looks like to really come, of what it looks like to really be filled. And he contrasts that with those who are not. I mean, think of what is recorded in Luke. Then he turned to the woman and said, "Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." Jesus is the pearl of great price. He's the treasure. Notice how he presents himself. "I came to be life for the world. Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out." This is how Christ presents himself. Arms outstretched, Isaiah 55, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Listen carefully to me and eat. Eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance." Hyper-Calvinists get extremely uncomfortable with this Jesus. But this is how he wants himself portrayed. "Come, eat, all of you who hear, and you will live. This is Christ. This is the Savior of the world." Okay, we've unpacked it this week. Now, here's the tragedy. Are we ready for the tragedy of this text? All man's desires fail him. Christ and his water, his bread, his life, just is not more attractive to us than what our evil hearts want. John's already told us this. It's not him. "You don't want to come to me," says Jesus, "that you may have life." And then Jesus says this in verse 36, "But I have said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe." Who's he talking to? He's talking to followers. He's standing there. He's healing the sick. He's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And they've missed everything those signs said. They did not see him. They just want their bellies filled. They just want to be physically well. All that sound familiar? Let's be clear. This is why people stay at a distance from him. This is why many will not commit to him or his church. The church is Christ's body. It's unthinkable one could be a Christian and not join himself to his body. The reason people don't want to commit is because we are constantly satisfying ourselves with anything else other than him. I am constantly being filled with other things, that I'm earthly and temporal, and I have no desire to be filled. No desire to be filled with the bread from heaven. I want to be filled for the moment by loving the world and the things in the world. This is my problem. This is the problem of natural man. He's earthly. He does not want that which comes from heaven, that which is spiritual. We love the things of this world. He is heavenly. He speaks from heaven. And I cannot find anything satisfying that comes down from heaven. The taste buds of my soul don't want him. And belief, my friends, is so much more than mere seeing. Did you hear what he said? You've seen me, but you don't believe this way. Coming to me to be filled. You know, how much does this challenge us today? How many of us have just been programmed to think that our Christianity boils down to the fact that I made a profession of faith, I made an intellectual agreement to a bunch of facts about Jesus and the Bible, I agreed with them, I walked an aisle, I prayed a prayer, that's why I'm a Christian, you know? Don't you dare challenge that either. I believe this is one of the most dangerous phenomenons in the church today. So many professing, not tasting him. You don't believe that? Look at Nicodemus, the precisionist. So orthodox in Jewish doctrine, and oh, is doctrine important. You can't get to the heart without going through the head. But he did not have this kind of satisfying trust, faith in Christ. Don't you see? People saw him. People heard him. But they did not believe him. That is the problem of what's being shown to you here in John 6. All of our desires fail. And as a result, there's a large problem. Many in the kingdom who follow, but when pressed with this need to have this life, which is far more than standing up on November 16th, 1956 and answering a few questions with an I do, when pressed, many will walk away. I've seen it in the life of the church. This is not the kind of following Jesus is after. This is not a saved person who follows that way. Jesus is so much more than a barren fig tree religion. Now, as I said earlier, if things ended here, Jesus' whole ministry, it would be mass failure. No one would come. And how frustrated Jesus would be. How frustrated I would be. But now Jesus answers this awful phenomenon. You know, what would happen if by the time I ended this radio address, all of you got up and said, we're done listening. No more? He's too much. The message, I can't stand. It would be devastating, you know? Do you know after Jesus gives this teaching, that's exactly what happens? Thousands get up and they walk away from him for good. Many of his own disciples walked away. And sad to say, today they can just hop down to a church that won't press them, right? Hop down to a church and make them feel good. Tell them how good they are. Well, they didn't have that in this day. How did Jesus feel about this when they walked away? I'll leave you with this thought. We'll come back to this tomorrow. Imagine this. Thousands get up and walk away after this teaching. Jesus declares, all that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. You're all following. I know it's fake. I know you won't come. I know you'll never thirst after me, but I'm not taken by that. My Father has given me sheep to go get, and I can assure you, not one of those whom he has given me will be lost. I will go get every single one, and they will come to me the way I want them to come to me. Well, that leaves the crucial question today. What kind of follower are you of Jesus? You better answer this all-crucial question. Dear radio listener, have you come to Jesus Christ for life? Founding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. on the Lord's Days. LindenURC.com is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.